America's healthcare one American at a time.
Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
So, Chris O'Brien, we've seen some really strange reviews over the past few months at iTunes. One says that I keep using the phrase, UFOs are here to make us think. Do I say it that often?
Not to my knowledge. I don't quite recall that particular phrase coming out of your mouth too many times. I mean, it's a good one, but so what? Does our reviewer have a problem with you stating the obvious maybe once or twice? Maybe I should start saying it more.
I'll tell you what, I'll use the word trickster, which is the other criticism, by the way. They say you use the word trickster all the time.
Well, I haven't used that word in I don't know how many shows, Gene.
You see, you know, what it is here is that the whole area of reviews, Amazon, iTunes, etc., the problem is here, when you have an open review system, is a good thing about it. It allows individuals to evaluate what they think of a product. It also allows the companies who make those products to put up their own reviews. The rivals of that product or service will put up their negative reviews. They'll tear you down. And I kind of think here that with the success of the Paracast, especially in the last year when we're heard on the GCN radio network, we're in New York, Atlanta, we just added a station in Illinois, as a matter of fact. With all that success, we have a lot of people out there who wish they had a network deal, so they find ways to try to criticize us. So, for example, they criticize the amount of ads we run. Now, as most of you know, network radio is free. How do you pay the bills? You have ads. The number of ads we run is the same as hundreds of other talk radio shows in the U.S. It's the same, as a matter of fact, as Coast to Coast AM, the same as Rush Limbaugh, the same as Randy Rhodes. And the reason I mention Limbaugh and Rhodes is because this way it's not a political favoritism. Randy Rhodes is a liberal, Rush Limbaugh is a conservative. It doesn't matter. That's how the business works. When we have a podcast version of the show, it's the same thing. We have to run those commercials. That's our contract. No commercials. They don't get paid. They don't carry the show. And we're back to where we started.
Well, I think it seems like a lot more commercials because a number of the commercials are very short. They're only 15 seconds.
Right.
The actual amount of time devoted to commercials remains the same. It just seems like there's more because some of them are shorter. So you got to deal with it and just fast forward past it if it's a problem. You know, I don't have any gold to sell. I already have a water filter. You know, I don't carry concealed handguns.
What about having special pills to protect you from radiation?
Oh, I haven't heard that one. I just eat a lot of nori. And I'm not talking George either. I'm talking seaweed. But wait a minute. Where does that seaweed come from? Uh-oh.
Oh, well, we're in trouble now. Well, most of the ads, of course, are of things that can help better your life. Better your finances, you know. It teaches you to have a healthy lifestyle, for example, health food. Okay, what's wrong with that? Nothing wrong with being healthy or living longer. What's wrong with investing in things that might increase your net worth? You know, gold is a good area where people can invest and maybe make a lot of money. Some people have made an awful lot of money. So that's one area. You need insurance, okay? So someone says, get life insurance, okay? You want to protect your loved ones. You're gone. You want them to be stuck with all the bills you left? So you get life insurance. You get health insurance. You get auto insurance. All of these things are things that you might need. If you don't need them, fine, don't buy them. No one stops you. What about backup services? Like Carbonite is one of our advertising partners. Carbonite offers online backup for your stuff on your Mac or your PC. What happens if your computer's drive fails and you don't have a backup?
Or like I did last week, accidentally erase 31 of my most important folders, which I'm still trying to recolate after I had to unempty my trash. Oh, man. Don't even get me going on that one, Gene. That hasn't happened to me in quite some time.
We have to get you set up with Carbonite.
Yeah, exactly. So there you go. There's another product that, you know, I could have probably used if I had listened to those commercials.
Especially the ones that we run. And by the way, that's one of our advertisers, by the way. My son was able to recover his files. His hard drive on his MacBook failed.
Oh.
They couldn't bring the data back. He had an online backup. And so in a few hours, he was totally restored. So there you go.
Well, we have a commercial.
Hey, you have a commercial, too. You are involved in this product, this collection of DVDs. It's about disclosure. Explain.
UFO disclosure. Well, as many of our listeners know, I am not the biggest fan of the whole idea of disclosure. Of course, I think it's a pipe dream. You couldn't trust a government that had been lying to you for 65 years. So I think in the idealized way that people look and view the subject of disclosure, it'll never happen. And I've spent quite a bit of time over the past 6-8 months editing an exhaustive, totally thorough examination of the whole subject of disclosure. And boy, I tell you, it features everybody. Richard Dolan's in it, Stephen Bassett, Peter Robbins, Gary Heseltine, Stanton Friedman. I mean,
the
list goes on and on.
You allowed Bassett to come on, huh?
We did, and the conversation, for instance, that he had with Paul Davids about the role of Hollywood in the whole UFO, the development and the unfolding of public knowledge of UFOs, and how Hollywood has been very crucial in kind of miseducating the public, if you will, in many regards. I mean, that conversation, I learned so much. The conversation, these are dialogues now. The project is called Dialogues. Disclosure dialogues, and it's not just a bunch of talking heads. It's the top experts talking to each other, which is absolutely fascinating. I learned so much. For instance, Richard Dolan and Danny Sheehan talking about the religious and cultural implications of disclosure just was fascinating. So I was hired actually to edit this humongous project. It's I think 12 hours. It runs 5 DVDs. And I also was the one that compiled sound bites from each of these dialogues and put them together in a coherent fashion for a standalone documentary called It Could Happen Tomorrow, which I think, in my opinion, is probably the most comprehensive, most in-depth look in about an hour and 5 minutes that you will ever find out there on the whole subject of disclosure. We're super excited about it. I think it's a historic achievement. It took 2.5 years to get all these dialogues filmed. It's taken the better part of the last year to get everything all put together in a coherent fashion. And even though I am I am one of the few people in the piece that actually sort of just poo-poos the whole subject, I am the one that was asked to objectively put on my neutral hat and edit the whole thing. So I do think it's a very important project. We're already getting really good reviews. We premiered It Could Happen Tomorrow, the standalone doc. We premiered it at the recent 2011 International MUFON Symposium. And we did get some really good feedback. And I urge everybody, if you're interested in this subject, this is a one-stop shop that you can do to really get yourself up to speed. Just go to my website, Our Strange Planet, click on the link. It'll take you to a website, and you can look at some clips from the piece. It's super well put together, and I'm really happy that I was asked to become involved, even though, you know, it is a subject that I have some problems with. I think I learned a lot, and I put a lot of this stuff together in a way that's very, very, very educational.
So you go to ourstrangeplanet.com,
correct,
and you'll see a link, and you can order the set. And it's really economical, worth it. We're going to do one or more shows about disclosure in the near future. But today we're going to do a show with an old friend of the show, old friend of ours, Leslie Kane. And she is the author of this best-selling book, UFOs, Generals, Pilots, and Government Officials Go on the Record. A paperback edition is coming out this month, but also on history. The cable TV channel, there's going to be a 2-hour special, Secret Access UFOs on the Record, that's going to feature the highlights of what we know about UFOs and this is a totally scientific approach. That's Leslie Kane coming up next on
The Paracast.
I've got to tell you about this. GoToMeeting by Citrix, the way I meet online with my colleagues, has just added high-definition group video conferencing. It's called GoToMeeting with HD Faces. Now you can collaborate with anyone around the world face-to-face. And I've used GoToMeeting HD Faces because it's awesome. You see the facial expressions, and that can express so much more than words. Of course, the video quality is so clear and natural, it's got the highest resolution in the industry. Nothing compares. GoToMeeting with HD Faces will make your online meetings even more personal, engaging, and effective. Plus, it's so easy to use. All you need is an internet connection and a webcam. I want you to try GoToMeeting with HD Faces. My listeners can try it free for 30 days. Visit GoToMeeting.com. Click the Try It Free button. Use the promo code PODCAST. The promo code is PODCAST at GoToMeeting.com.
Gold isn't for you? Ted Anderson, president of Midas Resources, one of the world's premier gold and precious metal investing firms. I get it. You wouldn't buy gold if you believed that the government is doing a great job, that the Fed will stop handing out trillions of dollars like bailout candy, that Social Security would be there for you. That's not what's happening. You might even pass on gold if the stimulus package wouldn't fuel inflation, or that the dollar wouldn't lose value, or that your retirement would be secure. If all looks rosy to you, then now is not the time to buy gold. For the realists, there have never been more sobering reasons to diversify with gold. Since 2001, the U.S. dollar index has tanked 30% while gold has risen 300%. Right now, savvy investors are adding gold to their portfolios. You should too. Find out what they know. Call us and I'll send you 10 reasons why gold will do very well, free. 800-686-2237. 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Are you tired of spending money for metal canning lids year after year? Then stop! Stop buying metal lids and get Tatler reusable canning lids. Made of USDA and FDA-approved food-grade plastic, Tatler canning lids let you safely store emergency preparedness foods for years. Traditional metal lids are single-use throwaways that contain BPA, but Tatler canning lids are indefinitely reusable and guaranteed to last a lifetime when used as designed for home canning and contain no BPA. Tatler lids are dishwasher safe, perfect for standard pressure or water bath canning, eliminate food spoilage from acid corrosion, fit standard mason jars, and are proudly made in the USA. Place orders by phone at 877-747-2793 or go to reusablecanninglids.com. That's 1-877-747-2793 or go to reusablecanninglids.com. That's reusablecanninglids.com. Tatler Reusable Canning Lids, the original since 1976.
Did you know nuclear radiation is still spewing out of the melted down reactors in Fukushima, Japan, and making its way across the entire U.S. continent, contaminating the air, water, and food? Dangerously high levels of radiation are a reality here. As a result, radiation poisoning is a distinct possibility for anyone living in the U.S. unless you do something to protect yourself. How? With liquid zeolite from RestoreYourHealthNow.com. Without a doubt, liquid zeolite is by far the best product to remove radiation from your body. It safely removes toxins and heavy metals, boosts energy levels, and promotes a strong immune system. Liquid zeolite is so powerful it was used to clean up contamination in Chernobyl, yet so gentle you won't even know you're taking it. Liquid zeolite comes with a money-back guarantee, but is only available at RestoreYourHealthNow.com. Learn how to get free bottles of liquid zeolite by calling 800-880-9976. That's 800-880-9976. Or go to RestoreYourHealthNow.com. That's RestoreYourHealthNow.com.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
We want to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com. Get in on all the action at forum.theparacast.com.
On the Paracast with Gene and Chris, we are joined by a friend of the show, Leslie Kane. who has been on a number of times in the past few years, most recently to announce the publication of her book last year, UFOs, Generals, Pilots, and Government Officials Go on the Record. And Leslie, it's now available in a paperback edition, huh?
That's right. It just came out a couple of weeks ago in paperback. So it's a smaller, it's beautiful. It's smaller, lighter, easier to carry around, and cheaper. So there it is.
And in this economy, cheaper is good. Now,
exactly.
How many years has it been, Leslie, since we've had an actual best-selling UFO book? I mean, does that go back to the days of, like, Donald Keough and Frank Edwards and people like that? How
well,
long?
I think that one of Bud Hopkins' book, maybe Intruders, was a bestseller.
Okay.
It was, actually. That would have been in the 80s, I think.
Right.
And then there was Corso's book. I don't know. If
right.
I think that might have been a bestseller also. But I'm not positive, but I can't think of anything else, but I could be mistaken. So I think it's been a while since it's been a bestseller.
Now, parenthetically, I'm not going to ask you about Corso unless you want to respond. What do you think of that whole thing? This is, of course, that he was the bag man for alleged secret alien developments from Roswell, and he sent them out to private industry. Do you have any feeling on that?
I basically don't buy it, but it's just my opinion. I mean, I don't have any particular inside knowledge into it one way or the other. It seems way too far-fetched to me to be plausible. And I respect other people who have looked into it, like Stanton Friedman and Bud Hopkins. They certainly have cast grave doubts on the veracity of the whole thing. So, but I haven't spent a lot of time with it.
I think here in the PowerCast, we're looking possibly at interviewing the late Philip Corso's son and see what his take on the matter is, but that's another subject entirely. Let's get back to your book. There's also, by the way, a cable TV special coming up. Is this going to be basically a documentary based on the book or what?
Yeah, it's a TV special documentary made by an independent film company called Breakthrough Films. They were commissioned by the History Channel to do something sort of based around the book. It was at the time when the book was a bestseller, and the film company went and pitched it to History Channel. And it's really just takes some of the cases from the book and looks at those cases. And, you know, I sort of am a spokesperson throughout the piece, and I help produce it. So, but it's an independent film production company that actually made the film. But that's going to be aired on August 25th on the History Channel. So I hope people will watch it. I think they did a very good job. I mean, definitely when you're working for the History Channel, you're under certain constraints based on the requirements of making something for TV. So you don't have the kind of control you have. This is the first time they've actually made something for TV, this company. They're a really outstanding independent documentary film company. So given the parameters of the fact that you have to do a certain number to do a TV show, I think they did a really good job.
All those commercial limitations. In doing the press tour, as they say, or the TV radio tour for your book, did you find constraints in having to deal with these interviews that are 7 minutes long and you have to get in the proper talking points?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely harder to do it in a short time, but I got very used to it, and I just sort of know what my talking points are, and a lot of it, of course, is based on what they ask. So I did so many interviews when the book first came out a year ago of all different lengths that I got, you know, very used to just doing it in a short bit if I had to.
Now, curious interview, I thought it was well done, the one you did on Fox News, where you had the two hosts, they seemed to be standing on a platform, and you were on the platform, so it was kind of like you were looking up and they were looking down at you.
Yeah, I sort of remember that. That was another one, like 3 or 4 minute one.
Right, and if you listen to the audio, it's fine, but if they look at you, it's like you're looking at them, and they put themselves in a way that they're superior to the guest. Isn't that peculiar?
Yeah, it's funny. I didn't feel it at the time. I think it's more that I'm just a short person. I mean, we were standing all on the same level, I think.
Oh, you were?
They were tall, and I'm small.
And it may also have been the way the cameras were pointed.
Yeah, but I think I remember the setup. It was this male and female anchor.
Right, that's the way they do it there.
Fox News blonde, you know, types.
The generic Fox News blonde type.
Exactly.
And I think people now who watch that channel are going to be screaming at us on the internet. There you go.
Well, we haven't said anything bad. Nothing bad with
that. No, it's just that we understand they hire tall people. Now, in the old days of show business, of course, when you had someone like an Alan Ladd who was 5'6" or something, and he'd be the leading man, what do you do? He stands on a stool or something.
yeah,
or a box crate to look taller. Sure, to look taller. Of course, you know, William Shatner, Captain Kirk is only 5'6", but he was a hero, but he didn't make himself look especially tall.
I said, yeah.
You know.
Well, they didn't, I don't know, that wasn't an issue. I didn't even think about it at the time, so.
Well, I really enjoyed your appearance on Stephen Colbert. That must have been, you must have been a little nervous before you walked out on that one, but I thought you handled yourself very well, and it was actually quite entertaining and educational.
Well, thank you, Chris. I mean, I really enjoyed that, I have to say. It was the high point of my whole publicity deal on this book was that show. Nothing comes close to it in terms of the experience that I had. And I mean, I'm such a fan of Stephen Colbert's. I mean, I had been for years. I've actually been in the studio audience numerous times with my sister, who's another fan. And I just was so psyched because of that. You know, I knew exactly what I was going to be up against. The producers spent a lot of time talking to you and kind of preparing you for this. And yes, it was very nerve-wracking, but I just sort of got in a state of mind of being so psyched and feeling so confident in the material that I had to present that, you know, it was absolutely thrilling to do it. What can I say?
I didn't see the episode, sorry to say.
It's on right on my homepage if you go to my website and want to check it out.
Okay, just kind of summarizing it, were they trying to treat this as a joke or was it a very straight interview?
Well, Stephen Colbert always, I mean, are you familiar with his style and what
he
does?
Yes.
Because he treated this the same way he treats every guest. He did not, you know, overly ridicule me as a guest or the subject matter. I didn't feel anyway. I mean, because he always is sort of doing his number on every guest that he has. And so he did his number with me, and it was really fun, and he was very funny. And I found, you know, when I went on there, I sort of, again, the whole issue of talking points, I sort of had in my mind certain points that I wanted to make sure I would get out. And once I was sitting there opposite Stephen Colbert, he's incredibly powerful, you know. Your focus just becomes purely on responding to him as a character. That's how it was for me. I couldn't really think about, oh, I need to make sure I say this, that, or the other thing about UFOs. It just became this dialogue between me and him, and the whole thing was to just be on the ball and be able to take him on as a person and be responsive to him and interact, and that's what it just was all about once you get there. He's just a very high, you know, high-powered, intense guy to be sitting opposite. But no, I felt he was really fair about the subject matter, and he made fun of it, but no more than he does with everything else.
Yeah. Did you happen to see Daryl Sims? I guess
when they did that
fiasco.
Yeah. So that wasn't an interview. That was one of their prepared, you know, news spoofs. I don't know why Daryl Sims ever allowed them to do that. I mean, what was he thinking?
When I saw it, I couldn't believe it. I thought, oh, my God, Daryl, you poor guy, man.
Now, one thing is very certain. Our sponsors might feel neglected. Our sponsors might feel that they deserve some attention if we don't give them a chance at the wheel here. And we have Leslie Kane with Chris and Gene on
the Paracast.
Ray Perkins, a reclusive veteran burned out from the Gulf War, lives tortured by relentless, perplexing nightmares. Nightmares of a horrific battle in deep space and of a mysterious woman suffering in agony for her devastated world. A woman not yet born, calling across centuries to him. Then, a coincidence leads him to his destiny, his chance to alter the universe. Attack! Of the Rockaways. The former fiction editor for Star Wars and Indiana Jones, Robert Simpson, writes, "The soul of the novel Attack of the Rockoids lies in its heart and passion for building a convincing tale of a love that spans a galaxy. A thrilling story. Attack of the Rockoids is available now. Read a sample chapter and get a special discount off of the cover price at our website, rockoids.com. That's rockoids.com. Attack of the Rockoids. A novel in the grand science fiction tradition.
Ready to save? Then you're ready for the Super Summer Sale at Herbal Healer Academy. Herbal Healer has been the leader in quality natural supplements for 23 years. Log on to HerbalHealer.com and take advantage of Herbal Healer Academy's incredible savings on 500 parts per million colloidal silver. The best pharmaceutical grade available at all sizes on sale. Super Male Plex with you Himbi and Super Femplex for summer toning. Buy glucosamine chondroitin 60 caps summer sale priced at only $12.
Colon and Answer 250 caps. Summer sale priced at just $18. And if your brain's a little foggy, we have a great supplement on sale called Memory Power. Log on and hit the postcard specials link for more super summer savings at herbalhealer.com. As always, new customers get a free catalog with first order. Herbal Healer Academy, healing the world with nature one person at a time.
Before you throw away your used batteries, you need to listen to this. Now, going green can save money. Go green and save money by giving life to your used batteries by charging them with the Renaissance Charger. The Renaissance Charger uses a new revolutionary battery charging technology that effectively extends the life of new batteries and gives new life to used batteries. Invented by legendary audio genius John Bedini, this unique and patented charging system rejuvenates the electrochemical plate structure in the battery without additives, increasing capacity and maintaining cell integrity. Renaissance Charge offers a full line of products made in the USA for all types and sizes of batteries. Find out why our customers tell us the Renaissance Charger is the only battery charger they will ever use. Save your money. Save the environment. Visit us online at r-charge.com. That's r-charge.com. Or call us at 208-772-4514. That's 208-772-4514. Be a part of the revolution today.
Fight back this cold and flu season with the world's best garlic extract, Alley C. Why Alley C? Because it helps your body fight viruses, bacteria, and fungi. Alley C has been scientifically proven in double-blind studies using low doses to greatly reduce the number, severity, and duration of common colds. Alley C contains 300 milligrams of stabilized allicin, the active ingredient in crushed garlic. Studies show Alley C is effective against MRSA, bacterial, fungal, and viral infections. One tablet of Alley C has the equivalent of 40 cloves of garlic. Alley C supports your body's resistance to all types of conditions and can help lower high blood pressure and high cholesterol. So boost your body's resistance to infection with nature's best garlic extract, Alley C. For more information and to order Alley C, call 877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com. That's 1-877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com for your Alley C today.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
This is Hilly Rose, and I hope that you do listen to the Paracast because you will learn a great deal about the paranormal.
We continue with Leslie Kane with Jean and Chris on the Paracast, exploring her experiences as the author of a best-selling book about UFOs. And isn't it good? This is a real serious kind of volume, something that covers UFOs in a scientific fashion. In doing this book and in doing the publicity tour, Leslie, did you find yourself getting more and more information from people who now feel better about releasing it?
That really hasn't happened, Gene. I mean, just trying to think. I mean, I've gotten a few people that have contacted me with information, but it hasn't been a major result of the book. A lot of people have written me who have read it, you know, and have been really impacted by it. People in the scientific community and, you know, very sort of sophisticated people who said, I've never taken UFOs seriously, and now I've never read a book on it, and now this book has completely changed my perspective, things like that. But in terms of new case material or something like that, no, there hasn't been a lot of it, to be honest with you.
Now, what about the presence of someone like John Podesta, who did the foreword for the book? Obviously, his close ties to the Clinton and the Obama administrations. Has that helped you at all gain credibility for the subject? I mean, if today we're looking at the public's reaction to UFOs compared to what it was a year ago, do you think there's been any change, improvement, we hope?
I mean, I hope so, and I certainly think that having John Podesta write the foreword made a big difference. I mean, really, really significant difference, especially within the political world, as you mentioned, because he is so well connected. And it's opened a lot of doors, the fact that he did that. But in terms of the overall impact, I mean, it's just so hard to say because I, you know, all my response all comes from individual. It's the accumulation of individual people who are responding to this. I certainly sense that the media is always getting more and more open to it. And I think the book has certainly had an impact there. And, you know, to me, it just matters. It just boils down to how many people read it. And whether there's sort of a cumulative effect that happens as a result of it. And I know that people that actually read this book, you know, people who are going to read the whole book and have not been open to UFOs in the past, it's just, I think it's literally impossible for them to do it, to read it and not have their feelings changed about it. It's just so hard for me to gauge, you know, the public, the overall public situation. I mean, obviously, you know, a lot more people have not read it than have read it. So, you know, I don't know. And of course, I'm very interested. I'm really most interested in affecting the scientific and the political worlds. And as I said in the book, trying to get some kind of change in government policy towards this issue. And that is not an easy task, as I'm sure you all can imagine.
We've tried for, what, 60 years right now? Since Major Donald Kehoe tried back in the 50s to effect a change, it hasn't happened. Now, today, have you had a chance in the past year to talk to people in government who can do something, make a difference? Or are they so wrapped up with the deficits and the political squabblings that there's just no time to deal with this?
Yeah, I mean, sort of both at the same time. I mean, yes, I have had some interesting meetings and conversations with people, and it's sort of a slow process of trying to educate, you know, people in positions of power about this issue. That's been happening sort of behind the scenes. But at the same time, I learn more and more as I do that, that yes, I mean, this is an issue that is absolutely not of concern to the political world. And I can understand why, given everything they've got going on, you know, it just isn't a high priority concern. So most of them, they don't know anything about it, absolutely nothing, you know. So you're really up against it, especially now when things are sort of in this crisis mode and we're going to have the election coming up. You know, it's just, it's very difficult to get the level of attention that is required in order for even incremental changes to happen. That doesn't mean that I'm not working on it, and I am working on it, and I'm going to keep working on it. But it's, you're really up against it, even more than I really thought. I think I was a little naive maybe in the book with my expectations, but, you know, I'm really learning.
I think Major Donald Kehoe learned that.
But also, you know, at the same time, I am interesting more and more people in it and getting more contacts, and things are happening. So you see both things happening at once.
Doesn't it also have to happen with public pressure? I mean, we still elect these people to public office. And yes, maybe they are to a large degree beholden to large corporations more and more these days. Still, if a lot of people write and say, do this, do that, they're going to have to respond.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think that you know, that people don't have jobs and, you know, are struggling in their various ways. I don't think that they're going to be writing letters about UFOs right now. My other concern about that, the whole public approach thing, is that so many of the people that do write letters sort of write them with language that's inappropriate. And, you know, they sound like they're sort of the kind of nutcases that officials don't want to deal with. I mean, I've learned this from my conversations with people in Washington. You have to be so careful how you approach the subject, what language you use, how you discuss it, you know, the aura in which you bring to it. And when you get constituents writing letters about, you know, this or that, you know, the aliens are visiting us or whatever, it's just sometimes it's more, can be counterproductive, actually.
Well, I'll ask you, you're a person who has been writing about this subject and studying it for a long time. You've dealt with people in Washington. You have these contacts. So we have a lot of listeners out there who are interested in UFOs. They'd like to see some sort of disclosure, at least more scientific investigation. Can you maybe in a few minutes, and we can go into this a little bit through the show, suggest how do they phrase? What do they say to express the point without making themselves look like lunatics?
I'd be happy to give them that, my opinion on that, absolutely.
Sure. Yep. Well, let's go ahead. Sure. What do you think? If I'm writing a letter, I want to write to my senator or my congressman, and I want to ask for investigations. What do I say?
Okay.
How do I say it?
Well, I think what you just said is, first of all, the first and most important point is you ask for an investigation. You're not asking for disclosure, which means you're not asking them to release some big secret that they've been sitting on for 50 years, that they have a crash saucer hidden away or this or that. You're just asking them for investigation into something that is a genuine mystery that needs to be uncovered. And the reason that it's important is for three. The way we've been approaching it is a three-pronged approach. Number one is there are aviation safety implications because of these things flying around. Number two, there's even national security implications, although I don't think they're as significant as the aviation safety ones, but you have the cases with the military bases. And the third one is the scientific, straight scientific, you know, prong, which is, you know, this is an unsolved mystery, and it's a real phenomenon. And the scientists need to take it on, just like they've taken on lots of other bizarre issues that they've studied over the years. And we need to learn more about it. And I think that's the approach to take. You don't want to be accusing the government of keeping, you know, having some horrible secret, and there's all these conspiracies about people, some elected officials know about it and some don't. And you don't want to scare them, you know, make them run away as if they've done something bad, because whoever you're writing to is going to know absolutely nothing about UFOs. They just don't.
One thing about it also, Leslie, is the fact that that letter is not necessarily going to get into the hands of the public official. It's going to go into their assistant or executive assistant or someone who reads hundreds, thousands of letters every week from constituents, and they're going to decide what rises to the top of the pile to actually get to that person's attention. Most times it will never get beyond the assistant, so you really have to tread carefully here, because you might find yourself going into the junk mail bin. You don't want to.
Exactly. That's absolutely right. And, you know, one thing we've been doing more of is using the acronym UAP as opposed to UFO. I mean, if you can avoid the word UFO, you're one step ahead.
That's something I want to get into with you as we progress through the show. The phrase UFO is so often used, of course, from the days of Captain Edward Ruppelt. At that time, flying saucers had the stigma. We called them flying saucers, then UFOs. Right. We had APRO, the saucer group of many years ago, that enforced their own terminology, UAO, and now you have that version. Let's talk about phraseology in a moment. Leslie Kane joining us with Gene and Chris on
The Paracast.
So here's what happened. I was placing an order online. The site went down. It just stopped responding. It took hours before it returned, but I'd already placed the order with another company. If your site goes down, you could lose business. And if you have a business or personal site, you'll want to know it's easy to run and it will stay online. At iWeb, your site is hosted on one of the most reliable networks in the world. Check it out. iWeb.com. That's iWeb.com.
For 58 years, Fate has provided true reports of the strange and unknown. Fate brings you the latest in all aspects of the paranormal, like angels and miracles, psychic phenomena, ghosts, UFOs, and much, much more. To receive your complimentary Fate magazine, call now at 1-800-728-2730 or visit their website at www.fatemag.com. That's 1-800-728-2730. What are you waiting for? Your fate awaits.
Local Army-Navy surplus stores are hard to find these days, but not military-issue supplies. They're right here online at mainmilitary.com. That's right, just like the state, M-A-I-N-E, military.com. We have everything for true, total preparedness. MaineMilitary.com is not a typical website. It has much more than your old surplus store. Quality military-issue survival gear like canteens, mess kits, utensils, gas masks, filters, and chemical suits, magnesium fire-starting tools, strike anywhere, waterproof, and storm matches, first aid kits, splints, tourniquets, parachute 550 cord, military manuals, sandbags by the bale, and a huge Molly assortment of vests and pouches for every need. Call 207-989-6783, 207-989-6783, or visit mainmilitary.com. That's M-A-I-N-E military.com, the main name in military supply.
OpticsPlanet.com is where discerning gun owners and outdoorsmen go to gear up. OpticsPlanet has the best selection of rifle scopes, red dots, night vision, holsters, bags, and tactical gear on the planet. with always low prices, free shipping on most orders, and expert customer service. Go to opticsplanet.com/GCN to get a free gift with purchase. That's opticsplanet.com/GCN or call 800-332-OPTICS, 800-332-6784.
Democrats, Republicans, have you had enough? Want real change? Then change yourself. Join a new political party formed to liberate the American people from the banksters who have overthrown the Republic. If you agree with maximum liberty, limited government, and traditional morality, then you agree with American Third Position. Get more information now. Call 800-513-4928 or go to a3p.me. That's A, the number 3, p.me. It's time to take America back.
Energy, energy, and more energy.
We all need it. Get the energy you need quick through the powers of wild forest extracts. Wild Chagan birch bark are the secrets of the forest, used exclusively by Russian athletes. Wild Chaga is the world's top source of superoxide dismutase, the critical enzyme that blocks the aging process. Chaga is good for your heart and even helps support healthy arteries. Wild birch extract is the top source of betulin, a natural sterol needed by every cell of the body. And healthy cells mean a healthy body and a more powerful you. No wonder it's known as a king of all herbs. Experience real energy and power like you've never dreamed possible. Take Chago Charge Tea with Wild Birch Bark every day and Chagamax capsules to get the energy you need.
You deserve it.
Order today by calling 877-817-9829. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. These products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Hi, this is Don Ecker, and you are tuned into the Paracast. Let me tell you what, you're going to hear stuff here that you probably won't hear anywhere else. Hear that, George Snorri?
Of course, Chris gets paid extra when he says the Paracast. Instead of getting just 1 cent per show, he gets 2 cents. I'll throw in my 2 cents with Gene and Chris. We have Leslie Kane. She's author of the New York Times bestseller, UFOs, Generals, Pilots, and Government Officials Go on the Record. Available in paperback, so if you couldn't afford the hardcover version, it's in paperback. Is there an e-book version, too, by the way?
There is. It's been on Kindle. It's been available on ebook since last year. So that's also an option.
And I mention that because in many cases, ebooks are now outselling traditional print books. So there you go.
Well, that's good.
Okay, so we're talking about getting your viewpoints known to your government officials, demanding an investigation, and about what we call the phenomenon. We called it flying saucers at one time. Ha ha, flying saucers. Then Edward Ruppelt said UFO. So UFO is now passe. We got to drop that term. It has too much baggage. What do you think?
I don't know. I mean, I use it, of course, and it's the title of my book. But I'm just, to the extent that when you're dealing with people in positions of power, you know, you have to sense it in the situation, but it can be useful to use UAP. It just sort of gives them, you know, it prevents them from having this sort of negative reaction that they might have otherwise. You have to say what UAP stands for, and you're going to have to give a line, you know, sort of defining what you're talking about. And I do have a definition of that in my book, but it's just a very tricky business. I think also the thing about writing to your representative, if you have a representative that's on some committee that has some relationship to this subject matter, you know, a scientific committee or a technology committee or something, then, you know, you have more of a chance of it making a difference. And maybe it's good to target the representatives that have some kind of relationship to some committee that has some kind of relationship to this issue. I mean, it's really hard. But I think the main thing is to just be very careful, to be very scientific about it, and that you have to give them a reason why they should care. Why is this worthy of their time? You know, that's a hard thing to do. You don't want to be accusing the government of deeds of secrecy and all of these deeds of keeping things secret from the public and all that kind of stuff. You want to appeal to them as a person, a community who needs their help. People like to be asked for help. It makes them feel good. So we need you, America, to become part of this worldwide investigation into this phenomenon. And I think also, Gene and Chris, to let these representatives know that other countries are actively involved with this, that they have agencies that are actually working on this is important. You know, America's unique in its, and in some ways in its sort of aversion to the subject matter, but certainly the fact that other countries, European countries, take it seriously is important to these people. I know that.
Well, very recently, of course, we had another round of data released by the British government.
Right.
About
well,
UFOs.
You know, like,
sure.
We don't exactly need any more data. I mean, it's always interesting, but we don't.
Do you think we have enough now? Do you think we have enough information out there that if we sent that out to the proper level of scientists, when they engage in the proper degree of scrutiny, they'll figure out what's going on?
Well, I don't think it's, no. I mean, I don't think they can figure it out just from the documents we have. I mean, they're not going to be able to figure out where what the UFOs actually are and where they come from, obviously. I mean, they certainly can be convinced that there is a real phenomenon, and I think those that read my book have been convinced of that. But I think the only way they're ever going to get to the bottom of this is to really become proactive, to put energy, resources, time, intellect into creating a methodology by which they can actually capture data that they haven't captured before. I mean, they have to come up with their way of getting to the bottom of this mystery, and it's not about just looking at a lot of documents that we already have. It's about actually being out there and collecting new information, maybe finding a way to, you know, get highly, highly sophisticated photographic equipment out to, that'll give you all kinds of information about objects and have to go places where they tend to show up. I mean, it's a big deal, and it'll be an expensive process, but, you know, for something of this
magnitude.
I don't know.
I disagree there. Okay. I'm in the midst of putting together a 7-camera surveillance setup at one of the, if not the most, hotspot UFO area in the lower 48 states in the San Luis Valley. And for $100,000, you'd be surprised at the quality of hard scientific data that you'd be able to actually compile with recording gravitometers, with recording, you know, with magnetometers, and with a coordinated, synchronized camera setup. It's really, the technology has come down in price, and the quality has gone up to such a degree that we can do this now for low six figures. And I think you're in towards the end of the book when you propose solutions. I think that that's really important for our listeners to understand, is there is no substitute for hard scientific data. And if we can come up with irrefutable, unassailable data, then we are going to be able to interest mainstream science and get them involved. That's when we'll start the ball rolling. And I champion this approach that you mentioned in your book. And, you know, as far as disclosure is concerned, I think listeners who've heard me talk about this on a number of occasions will know that I think it's a total pipe dream. And I have a suspicion that some of these releases of documents by other countries is just basically taking the heat off the U.S. right now. And what do you think of that?
You mean that it's actually done for that purpose? And it's,
well, it seems to have that result.
I
mean, everybody's
I don't
going,
know.
Ooh. It's like I would liken it to a pressure cooker. And the U.S. is under pressure, and these releases by other countries seem to be like a pressure relief valve, that it's letting out some of that pressure and that steam and taking the onus off the U.S. for just maybe a short period until the next, until Peru maybe releases something, or Belgium comes out with more material, or the French. It seems to me that this is all being done in concert. I don't have proof of that, but that's my suspicion.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have proof of that either. And, you know, I know that these countries have decided years ago to do this, and it just takes a while for the documents to come out. Certainly the Ministry of Defense documents have taken many years. But I don't know. I don't think they're somehow in cahoots with the United States and have some kind of plan to try to take the pressure off of them. Personally, I don't see any evidence of that, but I wouldn't have any way of knowing for sure. And I don't know. I don't think there's that much pressure on the U.S. right now. I mean, I don't know. But again, my position is that I don't think the release of documents is really what we need anyway. I mean, it's not going to tell us anything we don't already know. We have thousands and thousands of pages already of absolutely superb documents that establish the reality of this without a doubt. So another batch of documents, you know, unless there's some smoking gun that's accidentally released, it's just not going to really make any difference. And, you know, in a way it can almost be a distraction because people think, oh boy, more documents, and they lose sight of what we really need, which is something more along the lines of what you were saying, Chris.
Well, let me ask you a question here.
Data. Yeah.
Leslie, a question occurs to me as you're talking about this and the approach of getting information out there. What does the government know, and when did they know it? Do they have any smoking gun? Is there something inside the government where they know what's going on? Or are they just basically taking the position, well, it doesn't show an immediate threat to national security. Let's not worry about it. We've got more problems to deal with.
Yeah, I mean, you mean whether there is some kind of inside, secret, deep, dark program that might be working on this?
Absolutely.
Is there? And, you know, of course, I don't know the answer to that because we don't have – I'm a journalist, and I sort of have certain criteria by which I have to – you know, agree by which I will say, yes, I know this or I don't know this. And of course, I don't know the answer to that. Of course, there's lots of interesting points that suggest the possibility of it. And I certainly would, you know, my book, I bring forward a new document from the UK, which suggests that there is such a program in the United States. And sources I've spoken to have also led me to believe that there is. But, and I wrote a chapter about it in the book, sort of why I think there is and why I think there might not be. I think it's an open question as far as I'm concerned, but I certainly think it's a possibility that there is such a program. And if there is, I would add that the vast majority of government officials know nothing about it. So that our elected representatives, as far as they're concerned, it just doesn't exist. So this whole thing you're saying about, well, this isn't really a national security concern, we're not going to really worry about it, would still apply to most people within the Defense Department or anywhere else, because if there is such a research project going on, it's not going to be known to those people anyway. That's sort of the way I look at it. Now, that's just opinion based on the information that I have. I certainly don't have the answer to the question, that's for sure.
And the other suggestion made sometimes, and we'll get into it in the next segment, is the president at the beginning or end of the information chain? Because the president comes and goes, but the government bureaucrats, the commanders, the military officials remain administration after administration. Would they even tell the president unless it was an immediate matter of national security? Let's hold that question. With Gene and Chris, we have Leslie Kane on
the Paracast.
Hi, Ted Anderson announcing a great way to listen to radio on the telephone. By calling 760-569-7700, you'll be hearing GCNLive.com programs in seconds. Come to GCNLive.com, find your favorite host's dedicated phone number, and hear them 24-7. You heard me right, every show has a dedicated phone number. Stop by GCNLive.com and bookmark their number today. And again, that's 760-569-7700. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.